You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone and a warm welcome along to the weekly William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellum and Dave Tindall with you to preview the event this week, which is the Sony Open. We're in Hawaii again this week. And we're doing this remotely as well this week for the first time, I think, ever, Dave Tindall. So hopefully, fingers crossed, things go to plan and we can get a good podcast out there for the listeners. First of all, good morning to you, Dave.
Yeah, morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to the week. We had a decent week to kick things off in Kapalua, not as far as the tips were concerned, unfortunately. But I thought it was a fun event with a worthy champion in Kapalua, Dave.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're playing yourself down a bit there. You were very close. To get no returns from your tips of Justin Thomas, who missed out by a shot, and then Colin Morikawa, who I don't know how he didn't get placed, was pretty unlucky.
Yeah, it was frustrating for Morikawa. I must admit, going into that final round, he was second favourite, had a big chance to win. And Justin Thomas, I think if he was aware that he only needed to par 17 and birdie 18 to force his way into that playoff, things might have worked out differently. I got the feeling when he left that putt short on 17, he thought that was his chance gone, Thomas. But in the end, Wacky Neiman and Harris English went into that playoff and English prevailed in the end. And it was slightly ironic that the two in the playoff, him and Wacky Neiman, were two that qualified because the field was extended to 42 and weren't winners last year on tour.
Yeah, did we say that last week? It might be sort of ironic and this was bound to happen. But yeah, I watched quite a lot of the coverage. I enjoyed it, I think, because of the gap and not having seen golf for a bit. And I don't know. I thought English looked the winner from a long way out to me. Just there was something. He had the kind of strut and stroll of a man who had won quite recently, even though he clearly hadn't. So when he did prevail, I thought, that's been... That comes as no surprise because I think clearly his stock is up and he's been doing good things and everyone's waiting for that win after his great season last season. But to me, even though that he was surrounded by a lot of winners and other people who know how to get it done and have done it in recent times, he seemed to stand out as someone. I know he's got a pretty cool demeanour anyway, but he just looked like someone who was going to get it done. I don't know. It occurred to me while watching him, he's got the demeanour of someone who wins a US Open.
Yeah, potentially so. Do you think that, you mentioned, obviously, he had no win, official win, since the FedEx St. Jude in 2013. Do you think that win just before Christmas with Matt Kuchar in the QB shootout might have been a factor? I thought it probably was, but obviously it's difficult to quantify.
Yeah, it's just that winning feeling, isn't it, that he got there. So, yeah, I think it because it was very recent as well. Just looking at his US Open odds, they must have come down a bit. He's only 40-1.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems pretty tight, really.
I think he's the sort of player that might force his way onto a Ryder Cup team, potentially. I know we've talked before about how strong the Americans look in terms of the next Ryder Cup, personnel-wise. But he's one of those players that I think might be able to squeak onto that team.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, there's a lot of them who could potentially qualify, but he the way he's playing, if he continues this, he's playing again this week, of course, then it'd be very much in the running, wouldn't he, to get a place on Steve Stricker's team?
Event was quality, but was slightly marred by Justin Thomas's homophobic slur when he missed a short putt. I think it was on... Saturday. I'm sure that will be dealt with behind the scenes by the PGA Tour. Do you think the public should be made aware of disciplinaries regarding poor behaviour on the PGA Tour?
Well, they probably should. They never are, though, are they? You're never quite sure what's gone on. Yeah, he's probably deserving of a fine. He was very contrite. It was just very odd, isn't it? Because we all have him as a really lovely, nice bloke. So to have that in his locker as a kind of go-to word in times of stress and annoyance was like, ooh, really?
Yeah.
That's surprising. But all the things he said afterwards were of someone who knew he'd messed up, and that's all you can do, isn't it? That's what it takes, isn't it, to sort of move on and educate and all that. So he made a mistake, and he'll, you know, he realised.
Let's move on to this week then. We're in Hawaii again, as mentioned at the top of the podcast. Here at William Hill, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying 8 places, which is outstanding from a betting perspective this week. And Webb Simpson tops the market at 12-1. Harris English is 14s, along with Colin Morikawa. Daniel Berger, 16-1. Sung Jae-im is in the betting at 18s. Hideki Matsuyama is 20-1. Joaquin Neiman, 25-1. Cameron Smith and Abraham Ancer are both 28s. Russell Henley and Kevin Kisner and Ryan Palmer, all 30-1. Adam Scott is 33-1, and it's 35-1 and bigger the remainder. And the tour in Hawaii at Wailai Country Club in Honolulu, yet again the destination for this event. It's hosted the event since 1965, and Cameron Smith is the defending champion. We saw much tougher conditions last year. The wind really blew, and that affected scoring substantially last year. And even though this is an event at a course which is very different to the ones the players will have seen last week at Kapalua, there's some similarities. It's a second shot golf course, and the greens are going to be similar on the stimp meter as well. Pretty slow greens, Bermuda grass surfaces as well. 12 of the last 17 winners had played Kapalua the week before, which is a trend that many will hang their hat on this week, Dave Tindall.
Well, the numbers are there for you, aren't they? And it's quite a lot. I think it's further back, maybe 15 out of 22. So it's, you know, two-thirds. I mean, obviously, it makes a lot of sense. People have had a break, and those playing this week have shaken a bit of dust off, and obviously they are the better players as well. So, I wouldn't absolutely make that my first port of call and say, right, I must back someone who played last week, but... as it happened, my two picks did. But, other things you said there, the greens are definitely slower than normal. So that starts to bring in some common denominators. When you, at first you think, oh, well, this is a completely different test. But as the trade winds are similar and the greens. So that's why you've seen people not just win both events, but actually do it in the same year. Like Ernie Els did it. Did Justin Thomas do it as well? So... it's not particularly like you have to now move on from last week's thoughts and have a completely different pass list this week. There can be some crossover.
Yeah, definitely. This course measures 7,044 yards, plays to a power of 70. But whereas last week, almost routinely, players were hitting upwards of 80% of the fairways, this week that clip will be down at 50 to 55%. For the field, but they still average over 65% greens in regulation. It's a second shot course, again, similar to last week. 14 of the last 15 winners at Wailai had course experience. It's definitely one of those courses on the PGA Tour where that is a huge positive, previous course experience. Not necessarily top quality course form, but having played here a few times is almost crucial, Dave. You mentioned that having played last week at Kapalua wasn't your first port of call. What was the first port of call when assessing this field?
For this week, yeah, when I was going through the strokes gain stats, which have built up over the last few years here, the one that really jumps out is strokes gain putting. If you look at the last five winners and how they ranked in that category. So Cameron Smith last year was first in strokes gain putting. Matt Kuchar was third when he won. Patton Kazir was third when he won. Justin Thomas second when he won, Fabian Gomez fifth when he won. So the last five winners have all been highly ranked in the top five in strokes gained putting. The other one that jumped out as a stat was a strokes gained approach. Smith kind of didn't fit that last year. I think he just putted the lights out. But the other four that I mentioned before, so Kuchar seventh in approach, Kazir third, Thomas fourth, Gomez second. So those two elements seem to jump off the page stats-wise.
Yeah, I've looked at strokes gained approach strongly this week and previous course experience as well. Just two selections for me this week, but there's a whole host of names I want to mention, Dave.
Yeah, I'm similar. It is one of those events, isn't it, where you can pick about 15 still not get the winner but still be happy with your picks. And I've got two kind of from different ends of the market.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Abraham Anser.
Yeah, me too. Me
I think
too.
You said he was 25. I've got him at 28 when I've just refreshed.
Yeah, 28 to 1's the price, yeah.
Yeah. So if those are my two categories, putting and approach, then last week he was third in strokes gained putting, which I like because these will be a similar slow green. 13th in approach, although that is slightly misleading as he did his best work on the weekend. I think I backed Zach Johnson 1 year to win this on the basis that it on paper, his actual finish in the week before wasn't that great, but he'd had a hot weekend, and that's absolutely the case with Anser, who shot 69-66 on the weekend, which is actually the same as Harris English shot on the weekend, and he won. So Anser was kind of just working himself in over the first 2 days, but then he got his irons really clicking on the weekend, 69-66 finish. In terms of course form, it doesn't leap off the page, but you've got to remember this is the first time he would have come here and played the week before, because obviously he's a non-winner. Got into the field last week because of that change in stipulation, but I think that will sharpen him up. And 38th and 29th the last 2 years with, what, 7 of the 8 rounds in the 60s, a 66 in there. You know, you can't say this isn't the course for him. I think those were decent kind of efforts, and there was an element of knocking the rust off in both of those. But this time, the rust is off. So,
yeah.
All roads point to him, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, me too. I'm with Anser. He'd be my headline selection here. You mentioned that impressive ball striking in terms of strokes gained approach over the weekend. That was in evidence most on Sunday. Picked up over 3 shots on the field with his irons, which is exceptional. And I think the other positive with Anser is we know that the club that has held him back in the past is the putter. And because that was so hot last week, if he can carry that putting performance over to this week on very similar surfaces, I just think he's bound to be in the shake-up. And it looks like a perfect setup for Anser as well. He's quite a confident pick for me this week, Dave.
Yeah, Yadin, you know, we won't be inconvenienced if we see the wind blow. That'll, you know, he's from Mexico and grew up in Texas and all that. So I went to college in Texas. So he's got everything going for him this week. And, you know, maybe seeing Harris English win after a long break, Anser's not won, but it shows that, you know, you don't have to have won in the last 6 months to get it done. I thought it's not an incredible price, but it's enough, I think.
Second selection?
Yeah, I'm going to go right down to 150 to 1. We've got these 8 each way places. It's kind of on along similar lines. Michael Thompson.
Okay.
He genuinely qualified for the last week's event, having won the 3M Open in July. So he had an out in there. And a similar story to Anser in that he started a bit slow. He actually started with a round of 73, which was par. Then he shot 68, 67, 69 on the final 54 holes. That was a pretty good effort, to be honest. And if you look at his performances in those categories that I like, Thompson was second in strokes gained putting, 11th in strokes gained approach. And obviously that got better as the week went on. So he sort of fits the bill as someone who should be sharper after last week and did the right things in terms of the stats. Course form, it's a little bit patchy, but he's got 6th in there in 2012 when he was playing some of his better golf. Another top 20 in 2017, made the cut the last 2 years. I think he should go there with a bit of a spring in his step. And I thought 150s on a course and a style of course that suits him. He's done well in Florida before, likes the wind. Should see him maybe getting contention. I thought 150 to 1 was too big.
Okay, 150 to 1. Michael Thompson, Dave's second selection here. And my second pick, just the 100 points shorter than that, 50 to 1. Mark Leishman is my second selection here. Never missed a cut at Wylie, so it's clearly a course that suits his eye. He puts these greens well and handles windy conditions too. And he might be worth chancing after a spell in the doldrums. He was back to form with a tie for 13th at the Masters. And finished mid-division. He played at Kapalua last week as well. He was 8th in strokes gained approach, though, which suggests to me his iron play is back on song. And with such strong course form, allied with the fact that he loves the greens here, I thought he was worth an each-way play. He was 3rd here 2 years ago. ninth in 2013 and fifth in 2014. So Leishman, the second selection for me, Dave.
Yeah, should we now talk about these 35 players that we nearly
got?
Yeah,
let's spin through those. I've definitely got more than a few I want to mention. Should we start at the top of the betting with those that narrowly missed the cut?
Yeah.
Of those top six or seven in the market, Sung Jae-in was the one for me, away from Abraham Anser. Short par 70 on Bermuda grass greens is just the perfect setup for him. Very impressive to finish tied second on his Masters debut, of course, and tied fifth on his first start at Kapalua last week. Both those courses that take a good deal of understanding, an old head on young shoulders, undoubtedly. Sung Jae-in, and he's got experience here, 16th and 21st in two starts. I thought he had a big chance.
Yeah, I like him from that bunch. Morikawa didn't really hit it close enough last week and couldn't really save it with the putter. I don't know about English, though. What do you think of him? Do you think, well, he's had his win now and now he'll just take a step back?
No, I don't think that long term at all. Maybe short term, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean, really.
Yeah. I think 14 to 1's kind of his price, isn't it? I don't think it's not one of those prices that you think, wow, that's way too short, because
no.
I'd expect him, I was going to say, to be ranked ahead of Simpson by the end of the year. I think I'd stick with that. I think I'd go with English to be ranked above Simpson by the end of the year, personally. I think there's loads of upside with Harris English. I'm just not sure this week.
Yeah, no, I sort of did look at it. And just the fact that we've seen players win them both before, it is a thing that can happen. In the next kind of way, we've both picked Anser. I thought Kevin Kistner is very, very sort of tuned into this sort of course. And again, he got a bit of a look in last week. So that should bode well for him. Lanto Griffin at 40s. Had some decent stats last week. He was fourth in strokes gained putting, 17th in approach. That was a decent effort. Zach Johnson's won here before, plays well before. This is a completely Brendan Todd sort of course. He's 45-1. Charles Howell has got about a million top tens here at 50s.
Yeah.
And on we go.
Lanto Griffin was one that did stand out to me at 40-1. I just think the price is a bit... He tends to outperform expectations, Griffin, and when he's a little bit shorter in the betting, slightly disappointing. That's been his profile throughout his career so far. But Griffin was seventh here last year, and one that you mentioned there that I thought very interesting this week is Brendan Todd. That 13th place finish at Kapalua last week was superb effort, given that course doesn't suit his strengths at all, and length off the tee is a serious benefit. This place is much more up Todd's street, isn't it? He's posted three top 25 finishers in his career at Wailea. All his tour wins have come on shorter courses. And he seemed in really good control of his game last week, Brendan Todd. So he was one that definitely made my shortlist. And at a bigger price, you went for Michael Thompson at 150-1. I thought Peter Malnati was interesting at 150-1 as well. He puts these greens incredibly well historically. And I thought he could maybe be a look for a first-round leader market once these tee times are announced. He was second and fifth in a couple of events in the fall season, and he looked like one of the best outsiders for my money.
Yeah, he's always one I think of in these type of events. Other ones, I looked at Stuart Sink. He's won what he's won at Hilton Head, which is good. Last year, he shot a second-round 62 here. This was before we kind of realised he was having a bit of a renaissance. Got a top 20. He made 9 of his last 10 cuts, I think, at this course. And again, he was one who played last week, shot middle rounds of 69 and 67. He's 100-1. He did get that win at the Safeway Open. He's coming back. He's got his son on the bag. So plenty of good things going on for Stuart Sink. He's also added 20 yards off the tee. How do you do that when you're like 47? Yeah. I don't know, but
equipment.
Guess so. Brandon Grace is coming back to form, isn't he? 100-1. Could be interesting. I know a few people want to try and nail him at a big price before he inevitably starts shortening. Brian Gay wins on these sort of tracks. 125's got a recent win. So many.
There are so many. I looked at Doug Gim as well at 150-1 as a massive outsider with plenty of upside. Matthew Nesmith at 80-1 was one that caught the eye as well. But there are so many this week. And It's all about price, isn't it, this week, I think, Dave, if you because there's so many of these top players that come into this in form and with good course form. It's just which one you think has most upside this week. And that's why I think probably correct to take on the real top end of the market with Simpson, English and Morikawa and Berger to a lesser extent, all at similar prices this week.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad there's a good top end because they sort of make the market a little bit. You fear otherwise Ansa would have been a terrible price, but because of Simpson, English, Morikawa, Berger and him, even Matsuyama, then you're getting some sort of odds on Ansa and some of the other ones. So yeah, it should be a good week. First full field event of the year and another few late nights for us, I think.
A slightly shorter podcast than usual as well, with just the one event this week, similar to the case at Kapalua last week. Dave, do you want to recap your selections with the staking plan for this week as well?
Yes, I will go a point and a half each way on Abraham Ansa at 28-1. And I'll go, let's go for a point each way on
Michael Thompson?
Yes. Why was I thinking Matthew Thompson? Like someone went to school with or something. A point each way on Michael Thompson, my favourite golfer, because I've just forgotten his name, at 150-1.
I'll join you. I'll take a point and a half each way, Abraham Ansa at 28-1 this week, and a point each way on Mark Leishman at 50-1. Dave, thank you for your company yet again.
Yeah, cheers, Dave. And we're back to full dual events next week, aren't we? We've got Abu Dhabi on the European Tour.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. This week, by the way, Sony Open in Hawaii, top price guaranteed here at William Hill on the top 10, plus wonderful each-way terms as well. We're paying 8 places this week as well. Don't forget, you can follow myself and Dave on Twitter. Please do, at Dave Tyndall Golf and at D Kellner. And hopefully you enjoy the Sony Open in Hawaii, where Webb Simpson heads the betting at 12-1. Cameron Smith, the defending champ, at 28-1. Check out all the markets at williamhill.com. And on the app, and myself and Dave, we will be back with another William Hill Golf Podcast next week. Good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.